At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Because you draw a simpleton, anyone that looks at it is going to be like, that guy's an idiot.
What do you mean?
Like, if I were to draw a stupid person, right? I'm like, I'm drawing a dimwit, right?
Uh-huh.
And I show you this picture. You're going to look at that picture. You're going to be like, that's a dimwit. Matthew is drawing an idiot, the village fool.
And? Okay.
Maybe there's credence to phrenology. I don't know. You know?
That's wild.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. I'm, as always, is your science-believing host, Matthew Olenchek, joined, as always, by my wonderful work husband, the caliper-doubting Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay, you know. Kind of off-put by your distrust in science. It's in the name.
I don't distrust science. I'm sorry I'm not a member of your fancy science.
One of my favorite fucking posts is the one that's like a phrenology, like a meme, and it's like, maybe phrenology was right. It's like, look at this. This is a peasant. This is a peasant's skull, and just like a person, and you look at them, you're like, that's a guy you'd see like in a medieval movie as a peasant. Like, what the fuck's up with that?
Sure, okay.
And also, it's the basis of like every young adult book these days.
What?
Well, there's this trend in like modern young adult books where it's like, oh, I'm just a normal person. Actually, I was born special, and therefore that is why I am a hero. You can't become a hero. You have to be born a hero. You have to be born special. There's an inherent quality to them that makes them the hero.
Is that not throughout all of media?
Like, a lot of older things was very much like they kind of stumbled into it. Like you know, Narnia. They just stumble into it, you know.
Sure, but is that not like the basis of like Superman and X-Men and like comics in general? Like,
superheroes are kind of problematic, yeah. Especially with like the MCU, where like the movies are like, no, Captain America's right to be like, we're above the law and we shouldn't be held to these accords. I should be allowed to decide what's right, you know? And it's like, well, why? Because he can lift a car? Like, they made it his movie. It's implied that he's right. And it's like, no, I don't think I should be held accountable, because what if I think I should be doing something?
See, I think in...
That can be said about anyone, Captain America.
Yeah.
That can be said about anyone.
Very, very, very brief talking about Civil War, and then we're going to move on, because I actually don't love that movie. But I think Cap forgets that not everyone has his golden boy sense of morality or his golden boy sense of justice.
Yeah, because
so
like,
that he doesn't realize that absolute power corrupts absolutely, and even if he wouldn't let it corrupt him, it would corrupt anyone
else.
And it
overreacts too, because like, Tony's right. Like, Wanda just at least committed manslaughter. All right, if I throw a bomb away from a building and it kills other people, I'm gonna have to go to court for that. I'll probably be acquitted under like some Good Samaritan law or something, but I'll have to go to court because people died.
Sure.
She is under house arrest in a mansion until that's fine. You know, that's fine, Cap. Slow down. It is interesting you brought that up though, because I do think, I haven't watched it, but I've seen clips of it, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dislike Civil War, but the best part I think was Zemo. He's just a very charismatic actor, but he's very big in the show. And he's a anti-super soldier supremacist, and just hates the concept of super soldiers, says they shouldn't fucking exist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, anyone that gets that power is, like you said, is gonna be corrupted by it. They're gonna think that they're above people. And the Falcon, Sam, is like, oh, well, you know, didn't corrupt Steve. Or maybe it was Bucky that said that. And he goes, but has there been another Steve Rogers?
Yeah, that's the flaw in Civil War. And I think it's really weird that the movie shows that he's right.
Yeah, because that is his true superpower, is that he is this incorruptible moral being.
Yes. How do I phrase? Yeah, I mean,
in the best Marvel movie, Captain America: The First Avenger.
What?
My favorite Marvel movie.
That's not okay. Okay, that, go
that's
for
a
it.
Big established point. Is he is uniquely virtuous. I like super Nazis. I like super Nazis as villains. I like when there's Nazis and they do more than Nazis should and you have to fight them. I like Wolfenstein. I like Overlord. Frankenstein's Castle's probably really good. The moon one's probably really good. Anything where a Nazi shows up and goes, "Guy, not!" And they have like a super laser. I'm like, yeah, okay, baby, let's roll.
Weren't you the one who said the space fascism is your like favorite genre of
space fascism is one of my favorite genres, yes. I don't know why I like so many genres. Like, I love cyberpunk, hate corporations. I don't know, just... I think it's just because they're so clearly the villains in that, and all these genres I really like hold the people that I think are villains to be like clearly the villains. Like in like cyberpunk, big pharmaceutical, clearly the villain. And it's not like, oh, you know, well, maybe he shouldn't be shot. No, it's like he's a terrible person that's destroying the planet. And that just resonates with me. Because they show me the villains I think are villains, and they're like the villains. There's no fucking, oh, Baron Zemo, complicated person. Red Skull is a Nazi and a bad guy, and that's the end of the line. There's no, like, oh, tragic backstory. No, he's a fucking Nazi.
So you like the clear-cuttedness of
it. I like that they take people that I think are bad and just go, yeah, they're evil as shit. Kill them. No hesitation.
Fair enough. Speaking about dealing with the aftermath of Nazism, do you want to introduce the movie?
Is that the aftermath of Nazism?
I mean, it's the aftermath of World War II.
Yeah.
It's more the aftermath of the
nuclear
bomb.
It's the aftermath of World War II and the bomb. I guess which Nazis like helped develop. And,
I just think, when I think of World War II, I think of Nazis.
I do too, but like, I think there's a lot of arguments to be said that like, you know, like, I feel like they take some blame off Japan. Like, we focus on, this is going to sound wild until I finish my sentence, all right?
Okay.
We focus a lot like on the Holocaust, as we should. Uh-huh. But it all, I think that that's, it's single-minded, and we like, for like a lot of people don't know that Japan did just as horrific, if not more horrific things to like the Chinese and the Koreans. Like, they had their own fucking camps and their own fucking divisions of like human like experimentation that was like, it wasn't like at the level of death that the Holocaust was, obviously, mm-hmm. but in like levels of like Mengele fucked up shit, they did horrific goddamn shit everywhere they went in Asia.
Sure.
They did. It was like, what, Section Zero or whatever I think it's called.
Okay, yeah. I vaguely know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, and it's like, I think we have two eyes. We can look at two terrible things at the same time.
1,000%? I wasn't even going to judge the sentence because I'm willing to let you finish them. But thank you for the warning.
Yeah, it's going to sound nuts. The Italian, also I judge Japan because I think they joined after Italy. Okay. You never start a world war on the side Italy's on.
But it's only ever happened one other time. There's been a sample size of one.
There's been two world wars.
Now they have a sample size of two.
They have won each one. Like, officially Italy's won each world war because they've switched like at the end.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
So now there's a bigger sample size when the third one comes.
We all wait to see where Italy goes.
We all remain neutral until Italy.
They're really racist against Luigi. I think it's the northern or the southern. I know that it's one of the regions. I just don't remember which one's the most racist in this case. But they keep being like, oh, that Luigi's a monster because he's like that Muslim tainted son of a bitch. And it's like, oh, God, Jesus. Never change Italy.
God,
never
damn.
Stop being fascist, have you?
Oh, my God. You guys killed Jesus.
Killed Jesus. Well, I mean, the Romans followed the will of the people.
Okay. The Romans killed Jesus. And then pointed their fingers at the Jews.
it's also wild though, because like the whole like King Harold thing is like Pontius Pilate really tried to go through every official fucking thing. He's like, I don't really want to kill this guy, and then all the Jews of Israel are like, yeah, kill him. And then he's like, oh, fuck, the locals want me to. Oh, fuck, I'll go ask the local king. And then King Harold's like, oh, you can kill him. And he's like, fuck. Like, the whole King Harold thing is just him being like, I'm going to pass him off to local. Oh, he's back. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, they focus on how he washed his hands, but Pontius Pilate was really doing everything in his power, like, not to. And it was God's plan, too. I think we forget this with him and Judas. This is getting way off topic. Like we make Judas off to be such a bad person.
It was always going to happen.
But he literally couldn't, because right. it was God's plan. And we're like, oh, you're such a Judas. And we've made him like this curse. And it's like, buddy, that was God's plan. He was an agent of God. If you have a problem with what he did, you have to talk to the big man upstairs.
Also, I'm not calling Judas a tragic figure, but
he's a tragic figure.
Sure. I mean, in ways. But I do, yeah, I do think when you're told something is going to happen, you do everything in your power to make it not happen, and then it happens anyway while you're trying to make it not happen.
And then he had to become a vampire?
Yeah.
Not a fan of the librarian films, I see.
No, I'm sorry.
Have you seen them?
I saw the first one, I think.
Okay,
I think.
He thinks they're good enough not to. I'm putting them all on. They're some of my favorite fucking movies.
They're like, they're the TV films, right? That the show is based on?
Yeah, and like the third one is legitimately, the other two are fun. I think the third one is legitimately like a good movie.
Okay.
Like legitimately by all standards, actually a good movie.
Okay.
But the first, all of them are ridiculously fun movies. That are vaguely in a Jones theme, but if Indiana Jones like never lifted a weight in his life.
Sure. So
So Godzilla.
So I like this movie a lot. This movie rips.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm still traumatized by Hot Frosty, so I thought something was
I don't come. Like Hot Frosty. I'm sorry.
I know. But so like, I'm traumatized.
This movie rips. I will say, I never thought that I would live to see the day where I am legitimately tearing up at the end of a Godzilla movie. But
that's a real Godzilla movie.
My late 20s are fucking wild.
That's what I love so much about this movie, and I assume it's the same about Shin, is that Godzilla movies should be about the people.
Yeah.
Because Godzilla is not a character. He's an element that moves the plot forward. He is the struggle they have to overcome.
Yes.
He's not the hero that teams up with fucking King Kong, who has a special weapon because he's king of the monkeys.
No. I have seen the first two, like, 50s Godzillas.
I've watched most because I used to go to Chili and Zilly Night, where we eat a lot of chili and watch a lot of Zilly.
That's amazing.
And then we take home chili because too much chili was produced.
When was this?
Like, you knew me.
I did know you.
You knew me when this was happening.
I remember Chili and Zilly.
You remember? Yeah, when I ran into Quake and Steak to yell about they called a fucking idiot because he was saying that like Twist was its own flavor or something.
Yes,
that I ran from Chili and Zilly to do that.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was after Chili and Zilly. That's why I was so high and drunk.
But
I love old Godzilla movies, and I love this Godzilla movie as much as I hate the new Godzilla movies. Yeah,
I saw the first of the Monsters reboot. The, like, 2016 one or whenever, like, that... The one that was also that released with the Kong movie, but they weren't teamed up. It was just called Godzilla, right? Okay.
I hate that. That's how you described it. They weren't teamed up yet.
I know. I hate that that's how I described it.
Yeah, make everything the fucking MCU.
Yeah, dude. It's also...
It's not even the saturation of the media that's the problem. It's that everything has to be a franchise.
See, I think one of the things I find not insidious is
a shared franchise.
Yeah. One of the things I find, insidious is the wrong word, but when they take like really promising indie directors and just give them the $200 million movie, but they know that because all they know is the $1.5 million indie movie, that they can essentially tell them to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Like the dude who directed the King Kong movies, I don't know if he did Kong. I know he did Kong and Kong Skull Island. He did his first movie was like a little indie called The Kings of Summer. And it's really sweet little coming of age movie. And then when I heard he was doing Kong, like the King Kong movie, I was like, oh hell yeah, he's getting a chance. And then I watched it and I'm like, oh, that was just a studio movie. They just used
it's
you,
why
buddy.
It's why I think the superhero movies are best when they're given to directors who haven't done like big summer blockbusters, but are established. And
yes,
because like, I mean, Sam Raimi, obviously big blockbuster because he did the Spider-Mans, but yeah, that is core, he's the Evil Dead guy.
Yeah.
Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
Okay.
Because it's just a Sam Raimi movie.
Guardians is just a James Gunn movie.
Winter Soldier is just the Russo brothers going, what if we made a political thriller?
What if we made the Manchurian Candidate again?
Like, it's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Really, it feels like a James Bond movie. Like, the most it feels now like a thriller is at the end, and that could be a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
It feels like a spy action movie.
And they were established from Arrested Development and Community.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
They had enough success under their belt that they'd be like, no.
Have you seen John Watts' weird little puppet movie? I think it's called Hot Fuzz. Or it's just called The Fuzz. Or Hot Fuzz is the Edgar Wright movie. Oh, I think it's just called The Fuzz.
The one with... Was it the one that was in Production Hell? The one with, what's her name?
Melissa McCarthy? No, not that one. No. That was directed by, I want to say that was directed by Jim Henson's son.
It was in Development Hell for years.
Yeah. And it's an official Henson project.
Hell yeah.
Okay. It's called The Fuzz. And it's pretty good, but you can definitely tell that it was just a bunch of friends who wanted to make a weird little puppet cop film. And
it has that feel, yeah.
Yeah. And they probably made it for like $100,000. Like, it's super low
budget.
And
now Steve's gonna...
And now he's doing fucking, like, the Spider-Man movies.
And it's wild, because, like, I don't... My feeling, from what I've read, is that this movie's kind of was, like, by an indie director.
Yeah, that makes sense.
With a pretty big budget for...
His last movie, I want to say, was the Lupin the Third remake.
Was it?
Yes.
The CGI one.
Yes. But he was also, like, he had done a bunch of indie
so
stuff.
So he only does bangers.
Yeah, I mean, he's... judging by his letterbox, he's made, like, a dozen or so, like, 20-ish.
You know what
movies.
That movie has, Lupin?
Yeah.
Nazis the Super Lasers.
You know what? Add it to the list.
You haven't seen the second one?
I've not seen the second one. I have seen the Miyazaki one.
Yeah, we can
come
back. I was so disappointed about that, but watching the other one will help me recover.
Okay.
Yeah, so he only makes bangers. And like, this is, I don't know, just maybe it's just the Japanese film industry, but like, it's just a good movie.
It's
that's not trying to be something it's not, and that's why it's great. It's not trying to be like a blockbuster.
That's what I feel like this is not an original thought, but I feel like the independent or the smaller, and this may just be the Japanese ones, but the smaller Godzillas, the couple that I have watched are about something.
Yeah.
In a way that like the big American one isn't.
Because America sees Godzilla and says, ooh, big monster. And Japan sees Godzilla and goes, ooh, generational trauma.
Yes, dude. Is how do I deal with the nuclear holocaust?
It's also an issue we really have, because like a lot, like it's just like for a long time, like horror has always been about, until I mean even now we got the more like artsy one, but it's supposed to be about
whatever the big fear
the
of
big
the people
fear.
Is
it's supposed to be
time.
Yeah, it's about an issue, you know, like it's how you can, like each vampire movie is kind of related to what's going on at the time.
Yes.
And I just Americans don't see Godzilla as a horror movie, even though it is.
Now, is it, so this and Shin Godzilla are connected. I don't think it's like a sequel or anything, but like.
I don't think they are.
Maybe. I looked it up and they were like, here's the connections between, not like in-universe connections, but like thematically they were made.
Oh yeah, because they're both actual Godzilla movies.
Yes. And I don't know, maybe it's because they were Shin Godzilla came out in 16, so maybe it was because it was
which I still need to see.
Me too. Now that I honestly, one of us needs to watch it, let the other one know, and then bring it.
Yeah.
I think it's, well, more with Shin, I guess, but maybe this. I think it's because they were approaching the 70th anniversary of the bomb that, like, it was more, I hate the fucking term in the zeitgeist, but
it's a great Smashing Pumpkins album.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite. Starts off with a Doomsday Clock. I mean, Jesus Christ, what a fucking album.
Oh my God. No, I'm not. No, you're getting me distracted. I'm not looking
so
up
much
Smash.
Freshman year. It had been out for a while. I just really got really into that.
But no, maybe it was just, it was because it was in the culture's the wrong term, but it was in the air that like, it was the general feeling that like they felt the need.
The Japanese made it. I think it's because the Japanese understand Godzilla having being their collective fathers and mothers of Godzilla, understand what Godzilla's supposed to be. So when they make like a big Godzilla movie, you go, oh yeah, this is what Godzilla's supposed to be.
Fair enough.
Not a big monster we watch punch another CGI monster.
No, it's about a man dealing with the aftermath of war when the war is not done for him.
Yeah.
Like, which is, everything just happens to this dude at the beginning.
Everything, like, I do want to, because I just want to, before we get into it, the music.
Rules.
Rules. They have such a good understanding of sound and also silence.
He does one of my favorite things when a movie does toward the end, when everything just cuts silent and then you just hear the big loud plane.
And you hear when the bomb goes off, you get, there's a few moments that when they just complete silence and it fucking works.
Yes.
And they use the classic theme twice in the perfect moments. I was in the theater. I was like, yeah. I saw it with my mom the first time. I was like, Mom, that's a classic theme. She's like, okay, honey.
Also, I mean, it's... Listen, we are... we're talking about the movie. We're obviously going to spoil stuff about the movie. The end, when it's like, it like sets up the sequel, which we all knew was going to happen. Like, it's, we all knew that it wasn't going to last forever, that he was going to start to grow back. That's kind of the whole fucking point of Godzilla, is that you can't ever truly defeat him because the aftermath of war haunts us all.
Yeah. Godzilla's actually incredibly interesting if done right.
But like, when they did the whole bubbling underneath and he was growing back, like, felt earned in a way. Yeah, in a way that I feel like Americans try and do.
Michael Bay would just slap some Linkin Park over that, or he would show it dead and then like a single bubble and Linkin Park starts playing.
Oh my god, he would.
It's like the Joe Biden meme. Have you seen the Joe Biden meme?
No.
Oh, it's so good. I have to show you too. Okay. It's the fucking, for you who haven't seen it at home, I'm going to describe this visual and auditorial meme for you. It's just like him walking away, and it's a caption, like, you know, whatever you need for the meme, but it's him walking away at a conference and he turns around and goes like, a little small smile, and then it cuts to the ending of Transformers where it's what I've done with directed by Michael Bay. It's so good.
Oh, really?
It's so fucking funny.
Nice.
The funniest shit.
Oh, dude, you're going to have to show me, because I'm seeing it, but no.
It's so perfectly done, and that's what we would do, where this wasn't necessarily like, oh, we're going to have a sequel. It's that the haunting nature of war never leaves you, no matter how far away you get from it.
See, I would be interested to see, I mean, I wouldn't, because I don't want to see... Like, I mean, it's, what would a $15 million American Godzilla be? Because if you take away the...
they wouldn't make it.
But if you take away the constraints and you're literally forced to, like, artistically figure out how to make this movie work...
they wouldn't make it.
That's...
The
sucks,
only
man.
Way we make Godzilla is if it's a big CGI monster that fights other CGI monsters in a monsterverse. That's the hell we live in.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks. God damn it.
However, if I imagine we're in an undermined space where this is possible, that Godzilla would shoot a laser into like some towers.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it would have to be 9/11, right? It'd have to be 9/11 or an endless war.
Or have you read Mouse?
I mean, I've read parts of it. I'm aware of the history of the Holocaust.
Okay. What if you did a mouse version, like, in America, like, you have, like, the grandchildren of the people, like, it's a general, like, you literally make it, Americans have no subtlety, so you hide the subtlety, and you literally make it about generational trauma.
Where does a mouse come in?
No, that mouse is about generational trauma from World War II. Like,
yeah, so it's Godzilla.
But no, but like,
when
Mouse
I think
is,
Mouse, I don't think, oh, generational trauma.
I do. That's I what it's about.
It is, but like, my mind doesn't go to, oh, yes, the book about generational trauma. I think, oh, yeah, the book about the trauma of the Holocaust.
Sure, no, but it's a book about the generational trauma, specifically the trauma of the Holocaust.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I think of it as the book of generational trauma.
Okay, how does this relate to us in Godzilla?
So, what if, okay.
I just don't see how this connects.
Because
the only two paths you have currently are to compare the generational trauma of the Holocaust to 9/11 or Vietnam, which is a risky move either way.
No, not America. No, I mean, how do I phrase this correctly? You have, first off, it needs to be a Japanese-American writer-director, because they would truly only be the ones that have any coverage.
I'm watching you navigate a minefield that you just threw out. You just threw mines out, and then you look at me, I said, why the fuck did you throw mines out? Those kill hundreds of people.
So,
and you turned and looked to me, much like the Joe Biden meme, and said, it's Mouse about generational trauma, and then ran forward. Okay,
a bunch of people,
okay,
a bunch of families after World War II obviously moved to America. That's just how like happens.
Yeah.
You have, but they're still haunted by the generational trauma of the nuclear fallout. And so what happens with the generation that never experienced it but still experiences Godzilla and still has like the damage done from previous generations? That would be an interesting idea for an American, like a truly American Godzilla.
I just don't see how that doesn't feel American to me. I feel like an American Godzilla would have to deal with a uniquely American trauma.
But we don't, what do we have?
Vietnam.
Sure, but
the
like,
war on terror.
But not in the same way of the nuclear.
You're right.
No, but
you
like,
there's a reason why we don't get Godzilla
happens,
right.
I agree. No, but it's the idea of what happens if you were never there and you didn't experience like the culture around the event, or like you're no longer in the area. You're so far removed from it. You're in a different culture.
You end up voting for Trump. I don't know.
Still haunted by it. Like,
there we're not though. That's the American condition, is we are not haunted by the sins of our ancestors.
But what about like Japanese Americans, like? Like a Japan, like a. First off, I think Godzilla is an inherently Japanese story.
It is. If you made it, maybe you made it about our like concentration camp somehow.
Maybe I'm thinking literally though.
I think a Native American Godzilla would be very interesting.
That would be really interesting. I'm thinking more of like.
But you can't make it about like. You have to make it about a persecuted minority group that's in America. You can't make it about the generic American, because the generic American...
No, it's about Japanese American. No,
yeah.
I don't even think it's about persecution per se. It's like, I literally think
it
should be about them.
It doesn't have to be, but they have to be persecuted, because if you're not persecuted in this country, you have no fucking trauma. Like the average like white nuclear family Baptist in like Georgia doesn't have generational trauma you can mine to make a Godzilla movie.
No, but no, that's my no. I think Godzilla is an inherently Japanese story. So what happens if you take the inherently Japanese story, put it like in America from Japanese Americans, from like the great grandchildren who still have like that generational trauma from like.
I think you're diluting the premise.
Are you?
I think you're diluting the premise. I'm sure.
So do you? Godzilla specifically has to take place during the period like.
I think it needs to take place in Japan.
Okay.
And I would argue it can maybe take place out of the period, but it works best in the period, obviously. But
well, yeah, because then there's a one to one.
But if you're making it set in America, why not just make it set in Japan and not have to jump through all these hoops? Like, I think it could be done. I'm not saying it's impossible to be done, but I think that it's a lot of work for a pretty good chance you're going to get a mediocre product.
But I don't even think it would be mediocre if the right person told it. Like, it's the idea of you can move across the world and be generations removed from this thing, but you'll never outrun family ghosts.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to lean. This is causing me to kind of lean to. I think it is Godzilla really works is like in that time period. That Godzilla is uniquely a creature of that time period, where you just fought a terrible war where you were the bad guy, and you were completely defamed and humiliated, and then a big monster comes, and General MacArthur says, oh, that fucking sucks, sorry.
I'll concede to that.
Because the big reason also why Godzilla is such a threat, which they do great in this movie, is because, I mean, they really don't have any weapons.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's directly...
They still don't, but... Really?
Yeah. No, I'm on board with that. That's you had them. I mean, the U.S. military wouldn't be able to do anything, but they would be way more on it immediately.
Yeah,
you're right. Damn. God damn the military industrial complex.
I don't think
ruining good art.
We wouldn't just show up to kill Godzilla, but I think we would drive him back for a bit. It would just be an issue. It'd become a fucking Pacific Rim situation where he'd show up. And we'd shoot everything we have at him for a while, and then he'd go back into the ocean. I don't think it'd be level of destruction in Japan.
Is Pacific Rim the closest we can get to a really good American Godzilla? Yes. Okay.
Because it is about a terrible event. It's not the metaphor, but it's about a terrible event. It's the kind of trauma that would inspire a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Which is that there's this terrible event which necessitates everything becoming super militarized, which is the American reaction to a crisis.
Yes, it is. Okay. You know, the U.S. military does ruin my idea.
Yeah. Like,
that is, I don't know. Because I think there is something about the idea of Godzilla being like this, obviously the symbol, but like also a symbol of like, it is a ghost that haunts you, and what happens if you truly can't run away from
the
ghost?
I think the issue is that the only thing that haunts America is 9/11 in Vietnam.
I mean, Pearl Harbor, but like...
I mean, kind of, but we're not haunted by it. It was a big tragedy, but we won World War II.
Sure.
We busted that ghost by nuking Japan and creating Godzilla.
Okay.
We took our ghost and shoved it over there.
What if you made a Godzilla... As in America at that time, as a reaction to like, what if America had to face the consequences of the nuclear?
I think it works thematically. I don't think it'd work with an American audience. I do truly think that the American audience is incapable of like accepting their own guilt enough for it to hit.
Okay. Okay.
Like, we are just incapable of accepting the consequences of our actions, and like that the sense of, we don't have a sense of guilt about it to the level that other people do. And so we can understand that. Obviously, we can watch this movie and be like, oh, wow, yeah. But we can't put ourselves in those shoes and experience it the same way.
Fair enough. Never mind, the point's too far. I was going to come back and combat the whole white families in Georgia don't have generational trauma, but not in the same way.
Not enough to make a Godzilla.
Sure. Enough to make a haunted house movie.
Yeah, a haunted house movie, 100%. Like a Godzilla requires like a nationwide level of trauma.
Okay.
You could have a German Godzilla. I think you could make a great German Godzilla with all the trauma of holy fuck, we did the Holocaust.
Yes, but then what creates Godzilla? Because the thing about Godzilla is created by by nuclear energy. Like,
you can make it biological.
Just Mangala did one last giant project, yeah. And
made a Godzilla, or it's a giant golem.
Okay,
come to avenge the Jewish people, and then there's another layer of like, I mean, he's right. It's a fact that you're facing this terrible destruction because of the sins of your ancestors, but it isn't completely justified.
Okay. I love this discussion. Do we want to do a brief synopsis of the plot, or do we just want to keep like talking about themes and then...
I mean, it's a Godzilla. I'll do the snap to the plot. Because we can hit on certain moments that hit on the themes.
Yeah.
But the synopsis is the same as any classic, like the original Godzilla movies. Godzilla shows up. Oh, God, it's war and all our trauma. They overcome it through science, ingenuity, and the human spirit.
Well, the movie's about a kamikaze pilot who ditches out on his mission.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla comes to the camp and he can't shoot it.
I would argue that's
froze.
Less narrative plot relevant and more narratively theme relevant. I think this movie's unique in that the main characters journey isn't really that attached to the plot. So, like, it doesn't drive the plot. It doesn't drive the plot.
I would argue that Godzilla is more of the B plot in this movie.
Yeah. The Godzilla plot is the B plot. It's because this is Godzilla done good. The movie's not about Godzilla.
Yeah.
Godzilla's just there.
Yeah, as a symbol for the war is never over.
It's about this man and his deep, deep struggles, yeah. Which I'm happy to get into.
So the A plot, this movie's about a fighter pilot who, on his kamikaze mission.
Very distinctly.
I think I said kamikaze earlier episode. Okay. He's a kamikaze pilot who, the day of his mission, flew to an island to get his plane repaired. The plane wasn't broken. He doesn't want to die, essentially. Yeah. Godzilla comes to that night, comes to
very reasonable choice.
The Odo Island, yeah.
Later on, someone's like, I understand they're just angry about what happened. They're like, this wouldn't have happened if they weren't cowards like you. I mean, the kamikaze pilots were terrifying, but I don't think they turned the tide of war. I don't think they slowed much down.
No, but I do think that military propaganda convinced the people that...
I think it's also just like you're looking for anyone to blame in that situation. 1,000.
That's what... Yes. Yeah. You know what? Yes. It is probably more of that.
But I'd argue that the Japanese greatest strength wasn't the kamikaze. It was the fact that they would die to the last fucking man.
Mm-hmm. Godzilla comes to the Odo Island.
And I like that they don't do a lot of like, what is this creature? Like a lot of movies are
quite... No, they're just Godzilla.
They're like, we have to make it organic. It's the same thing that Trollhunter does.
Yeah.
Where it's just, that's Godzilla. What? Yeah, the locals call him Godzilla. Okay, moving on.
Right? There's no, like, what's the word? Fucking...
There's no super stupid setup scene where they're like, it's like some sort of god-like lizard.
Yeah.
A Godzilla, no.
They don't, like, show him being born. It's just like, yeah.
They do, like, a five-second clip of him being affected by the nuclear radiation and then move on.
Yeah.
He's just there.
Godzilla's freezes up in the plane. He can't shoot Godzilla down. We later would find out it wouldn't have fucking helped.
It might have, because he wasn't yet a nuclear lizard.
Sure. I mean, he was a giant fucking...
I don't think he would have regenerated at that point.
Maybe. You know what? Maybe.
I think that comes from the nuclear radiation. It's my theory. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying.
No.
I think that I would have done something.
Maybe. You know what? I'm willing to concede my argument. He freezes up, can't shoot Godzilla, basically everyone but him, and we later find out one of the mechanics dies. He goes back to Tokyo.
Well, all the mechanics die except one.
Yeah, him, but in one of the mechanics.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said one of the mechanics died. Like,
no, everyone but him in one of the mechanics died.
And he's like, fuck you, it's your fault. Here's pictures of their families.
That he does later when he's looking for the dude because he wants to do another kamikaze mission. Or he wants to do his official He wants to do his official kamikaze mission. Yeah, and then he comes home, it's devastating, and a random lady steals a random baby, and
His neighbor blames him, because he finds out his parents are dead. The neighbor, whose name I forget, but she's the nice neighbor lady who's kind of like, oh, I don't give a shit, but I give a shit deeply about everything.
Yes. And then a random lady steals a random baby and lives in its house.
She doesn't steal the baby. No, she says, because he says, is that your child? And she's like, no, someone that was dying asked me to look after their baby.
You're probably right. I'm going to be real with you. I watched this movie over the course of 3 days because I had zero time.
Yeah. I think she stole food. And that's when we see her running away.
You're probably right. Because
the cops run I'm past the baby.
Sure.
Yeah, but no, she has a baby it's not her baby, which is good because it means she's unsoiled.
What? It's unsoiled?
Well, because you know, they're like, oh, are you married? You're not married and you have a kid? Oh, it's not your kid. Okay.
Oh, sure.
But it's a baby she looks after, and she just kind of like moves in with him because he holds into the baby for her, and then she like follows him home. So she can feed the baby, and then she goes in his house, and she falls asleep, and then she's just there.
She just lives there. Yeah. And he gets a job as a minesweeper, is like, I'm off to work.
Yeah, they immediately become a family, and he's like, no. And it's like, there's a hot, wonderful woman.
1,000?
In your home. It's the only issue I have with him.
No, but they do fall in love. It's that the war wasn't over for him. They specifically mention, because when she fake dies...
Tons of people fuck during war and kiss during war.
Okay, but not him. because when she fake dies in Godzilla's goddamn nuclear blow up of Ginza. Hell yeah. The captain asked him, why didn't you marry her? Didn't you want her to be your wife? And do you not think she wanted to be your wife? And he was like, don't you think I wanted that too? But the war's not over for me.
Okay, but
he has that whole breakdown when she's like, why won't you love me? Why won't you love us? Why won't you admit we're a family? Question.
They are effectively already married.
But why won't you let us be a family? And he's like, the war's not over.
Yeah, but buddy, you are doing everything a family does. You are literally...
That's the point. That's the goddamn point of war drama, dude. That's the... He is a comic... He's a
war
comic...
War drama is invalid.
Oh, do you want me to cut that?
No, I'll leave that in.
Okay. If that's the thing you're willing to stand behind.
I'm standing by what I said.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not a man who throws out things frivolously. I stand by every word I say. Get over your fucking war trauma and bang your hot wife. Stop being a fucking pussy. What the fuck, dude? You're fucking raising a child. You're going to work.
And this child calls you dad. And you're like, I'm not your father.
You carry a picture they drew of you. You are married. Just fucking marry her and have emotional distancing issues like any fucking man. You're not special.
No, I mean, ideally, at the end, they get, like, when it turns out she's alive because movie rule. See, I knew she was going to come back because movie rules, like, you didn't see her die. Here's also the thing. I knew that she was alive still, and it still got me. I still teared up at the end.
It's a powerful movie.
This truly?
I don't know, like, you can be married and have a bunch of trauma that prevents you from loving your wife.
But that's not healthy. That's
I guess the Japanese are just healthier than us. I guess it's just a healthier culture.
No.
There's tons of American men who get married with tons of fucking war
and they
trauma.
Shouldn't.
Yeah, but they do. That's what I'm saying. Japanese has a healthier culture in that regard.
I mean, this specific movie does. Yeah, I don't know fucking if this is a common thing or not, but like...
Oh, you're saying Japanese people have a healthier culture?
No, you are.
I know, but I said they are, and you said no.
I'm saying they have they probably have a healthier culture for them, but actually, I can specifically say from a child psychology standpoint, from the two classes I took, that if you raise an American child in American culture with Japanese parenting styles, it doesn't work.
Well, yeah.
So Japanese, like the way Japanese people are raised and the way Japanese culture works for Japanese culture, but I don't think you can, like, I don't think one's better
it's
or
also
worse.
It's gotten worse since then. You have a suicide forest, dude.
Yeah.
There's a lot of suicides in that part of the world. It's nuts.
There's a lot of suicides in this part
of the
world,
but, like,
too.
The suicide rate in Korea is, like, 20% or something insane.
Really?
It's incredibly high.
Goddamn.
It's because their work ethic and shit is just drives people to suicide constantly. And that's an American saying this, who we also have a crazy work ethic compared to every other country.
Yeah. what was my point?
I don't know. I was saying he should bang his hot wife.
He should bang his hot wife. Oh, okay. He should bang. I mean, this wasn't my point, but he should bang his hot wife, but he should wait until he's emotionally ready to bang his hot wife, which he does at the end when she's alive and the war
yeah,
is over.
That would
when
never
she
happen.
Asks, when she asks him, is your war finally
that
over?
That would never happen if there wasn't a giant radioactive lizard for him to kill.
Yes. If the symbol for his war wasn't destroyed, his war would never end. Exactly. He shouldn't.
I'm just saying you shouldn't bank your marriage prospects on mythical radioactive lizards.
No, but you should bank your marriage prospects on your mental stability.
Nah. You know, if you're mentally unstable, get in a relationship. You deserve it.
Oh my God.
Love will fix you.
Love will not fix you.
She'll fix you.
No,
or he can fix you, or you can fix him. In no case is the woman a mentally unstable, in my opinion. So either she will fix you, or you can fix him. That's my relationship advice, kids. Write that down in your love book, where you keep cool.
So on the list of Matthew relationship advice, she can fix you. And
parentheses, you can fix him.
And you're pro home wrecking.
I'm pro home wrecking. I'm pro having so much trauma that you destroy a person's relationship in the attempt to try to get her to fix you. Yes,
that's wild. I
run in my science app. It's the way to go.
Fuck off. I think right now this is like 40%. I hope it's like less than 40% real. I think it's mostly a bit. Oh, that weird little hand signal. Yeah, that hand signal we can't hear. Okay.
You hear my stinker face though.
Okay, so but yeah, he moves on from the war, and then now that he has moved on and he is ready for the next step, he can become the husband and father to them that he always was and always was meant to be in this story. I'm not saying people are meant for each other. I am saying in this story these fake people were meant for each other. Just nod.
Just nod.
You're just nodding.
I made my point.
But your point is wrong.
Psychologically sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. I aced a psychology class I never went to. I think I know a thing or two about psychology.
Now that doesn't prove anything.
I went to one class, hated it so much, I only showed up for tests. A plus.
I don't believe that.
It's true. Oh. Yes, Ryan.
Okay.
So Ryan was excited to take a class with me. And then I was like, oh, I hate this professor. Because she just spent like a 10-minute metaphor about someone's chasing you. And you're scared, but then it's just your roommate with a banana. Because they thought you were hungry. And that's flight or fight. And I think I literally listed, I'm gonna leave. I like left in the middle of class and never went back. Except for tests, A+.
Interesting.
Because I know psychology.
No. You know that this is wrong. You know. Shut up with the little stinker face. You know. Anyway, not the point. This is what leads to more generational trauma. This is what leads to more Godzillas, Matthew. Okay. But yeah, I love the he gets a job as a minesweeper. I don't know if I mentioned that. Yeah, because that's what causes them to build. That's what gives them the money to build the house. And that
he meets his found family.
It's real nice.
I really love everyone. I love his little family. I love the neighbor. I love Doc. I love Kid. I love Captain. I love that they always have dinners at his house. It's super cute, and I'm happy with it.
And all three of the grown men are just like, yo, dude, you're fucking up right now. You are fumbling this relationship hardcore. It's being handed to you on a silver platter, and you're fumbling it
you
right
really
now.
You really are, buddy. You don't need a lizard right now, because you have a very stable, healthy life right now that you can build from.
But the thing is, he doesn't have a stable, healthy mind.
Well,
his external is...
Maybe if she kissed him.
She can't fix him.
She'll fix him.
No, he needed to move forward on his own and fix himself so he was ready to enter that step in life.
The real Godzilla is thinking that...
a kiss can't solve your problems?
Yeah. The doubt. That's what it stands for.
The doubt?
The doubt, yeah.
Okay.
His heat rays not getting a kiss. Give me some time. I'll make it sound more eloquent.
Okay. But I love the crew. Kid is like 19 and like turned of age after the war.
I want to go to war. And everyone says, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's not even. Yeah, it's shut the fuck up. But it's also like, you don't understand how lucky you are. Like, dude, it was hell.
I fought in the war of the side that maybe lost the hardest out of any side in modern war history.
Doc was a naval scientist.
He was a weapons designer.
Yes. And he's the one who comes up with the plan to... Okay, so the plan to beat Godzilla from this, like, PhD-level head of the Navy weaponry.
What if we drop him into the ocean really fast, and if that doesn't work, we reverse it?
So they're going to set him on this platform, and they're going to set Freon to make bubbles.
Yeah, because it doesn't let the... which is why he needs a PhD, because no one who doesn't have a PhD has any idea what Freon bubbles do.
Right. So yeah, what if we attach this platform to these cables?
Because what it does is it...
And then we set off Freon.
It stops the salt water from touching them, so effectively you're just floating in air.
Yeah.
And so then you fall.
Yes.
Because you can't float in air.
And... Yes, and the idea is that the amount of water pressure will crush him, and then if that doesn't work, then the release of pressure will rip him apart.
Yeah, because they'll do little inflatable rafts. They'll shoot him up to the surface.
Yes, it obviously doesn't work.
Kind of works. It would. I think it might have worked. He was bubbling pretty bad, but then he chewed off the life preservers.
I mean, yeah, so he found a way to keep himself safe.
And this was after Godzilla's been revealed, because they're like, go to see a big boat.
This is the end.
Yeah, they see a big boat. And they're like, was that a shark? It's like, shut up, kid. A shark can't do that. And then it's fucking Godzilla. And it's one of my favorite things with the captain's like, look, we will die. It's like, someone has to do it. And then the other boat gets like immediately eaten. He's like, never mind.
Right. And they notice the first time they meet him with the minesweepers. By the way, their job is essentially to find and detonate mines left into the war. And they discovered that with the mine bomb in his mouth, and they shot the mine and blew it up, that's what did the most damage. But he also
regenerated.
That he's weaker from the inside. Yeah. So the idea is if you can destroy, well, what's our protagonist's name? It's Koichi. I apologize for my horrible Americanizing of that. Koichi Shikishima. So his idea is he's officially going to follow through with his kamikaze mission.
He's gonna fly into the big beast's mouth.
Yes.
And this comes along after his not wife is presumed dead.
Because his not wife, Noriko, yeah. His not wife.
Godzilla attacks the town where she's working and bites.
Yeah, she gets
train,
a job and
destroys things with his tail, rawr, shoots a nuke out of his mouth.
And then Noriko pushes
Koichi away.
Aside. Well, she pushes him into the alley, and she flies back from the
blast. And then gets
blast.
Sucked back. Everything gets sucked back too. And he goes, oh, fuck, now no one can fix me.
Yes, and then it cuts that like 30,000 people are dead.
And
so
when a man doesn't have a woman to fix him, they turn to war.
The man was always going to turn to war because the war was never over.
Not if
for
he got
him.
A kiss.
No. Yeah. The point was that he wasn't ready for the kiss.
You know, psychologists often call a kiss from a beautiful woman a little Treaty of Versailles.
That's... Jesus Christ. What is... What? Who? Why are you?
Yeah. I am.
You just are. Oh, that's okay. I'm not your therapist.
I exist with such confidence.
Yeah, I'm
and
not
certainty.
Yeah, I'm not your therapist. Don't fucking argue with me.
Why are the trees here, Harrison? Why are lions?
Not here, but why are you like this?
Why does the moon go up and down? Why is this? Why we revolve around the sun?
But that you're not the moon or the sun. You were made through a combination of nature, nurture, and trauma.
Nah, I'm a fundamental force.
No, you're a human being.
I'm right up there with minor and major, whatever, lesser and greater nuclear forces.
Oh, you're a shepherd looking at upon his flock disappointed. Yeah, I know. I've heard the fucking spiel. Sorry, before you made me annoyed, what was I talking about?
We're talking about how the kids could fix him, but then she died in the bomb.
No, but actually, that is what we were talking about, even because you're wrong. The kids could not fix him. That was kind of the whole fucking point of his character, was that he had to move on from the war to be ready to start his
new life. The whole point of his
life.
Character is he couldn't be fixed until he let himself get kissed.
No, he couldn't let himself get kissed until he moved on from the traumas of war.
Looking at the backwards reading.
You're so frustrating. Okay.
Even the character with the PhD is like, just let her kiss you, bro. Why aren't you married?
I mean, yeah, but then he has the... We're arguing in circles right now. Can we please pick a new topic?
She dies because they shoot Godzilla instead of continuing to run, which I would have done, or like sought shelter. They were like, we're going to stop and see if he's dead, which you never do. Don't stop to see if he's dead. Keep going, you know? Because when the tanks shoot him, everyone stops to look and like, is he dead? And then he shoots off his heat ray and they all die. If they'd literally taken the moment to hide behind apparently any wall, they would have been safe.
So, okay. We're going to fucking pivot because you're frustrating me right now. I love how this movie is structured. How essentially the first 30 to 45 minutes are just little vignettes of like life after war. And it drops you
where American powdered milk is a luxury.
Yes. And you're going to like, here's everything you need to know very quickly and how we're 3 years removed from this and he's still affected by it. And then the rest of this movie essentially takes place over a couple months.
Yeah.
Like, I love the way that's set up. Like, because I thought the whole movie was going to be vignette-y. And then by the time we see Godzilla on the ship, it's like, oh, so this is the movie. I also kind of thought there was going to be an epilogue. I'm really happy there isn't.
We don't truly get to the movie till like exactly halfway through when they play the theme for the first time. And he's rampaging.
Yes.
And then the movie officially kind of like, we've hit the conflict.
Yeah. The B plot happens. Actually, this movie is not exactly, but this movie is kind of structured like Weathering with You, where it's more like two halves as opposed to.
Yeah.
Like there's three act structure existent, but it is more like setup payoff as opposed to like traditional American story structure, which fucking makes sense. It's not an American movie.
It's Japanese. That's why it's a good Godzilla movie.
How many times have you seen this movie?
I think this is the fifth.
Night, dude.
I've watched it a lot. I think when he first shows up in the boat scene is a very, very good scene.
Oh, like when there's minesweeping?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the most where I get most excited in, but I think the scene where he's swimming through the water is a really powerful scene.
Probably, yeah. I don't know if it's my favorite like overall part, but maybe my favorite little moment is when the mechanic who survives.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Tani something, and I saw him eject. And I you see him pull, and they do it very quickly that like you can understand, they even kind of fake you out a little bit that if you weren't actively paying attention, like you wouldn't see him fly.
Yeah.
But that little moment where it's the mechanic,
the relief.
It's not even the relief. It's the mechanic explaining the lever, and then it's like essentially this moment of live. I forgive you. Forgive yourself. Live. I think there's something about like he was healed in many ways. I think that was the moment that healed him. Like it, like more than, I mean, I don't think he would have been fully able to move on without destroying
until
Godzilla.
The kiss. Yeah.
No, before destroying Godzilla. But I do think that is the moment where the war was over, not that the battle was won.
Yeah.
The war was not won, but the war was over. Yeah. Where it's like the only person who had like the most reason to like hold the grudge against him, and also the only other person who kind of understands what he's going through, because the war isn't over for him. I think it's these two men sharing this moment of,
oh yeah,
because like,
Godzilla fucked them both over.
Yeah, but it's, yes, it's this two men, these
they
two
have the
men.
Two people who directly got attacked by a metaphor.
Honestly, I love that phrasing. But yeah, that's probably, I don't know if it's my favorite little moment. I don't know if it's my favorite scene, but I like that a lot. And then the relief of when he is dropped. But the moment when Captain and Doc, they have names, and
they see him like once or twice.
I feel bad, but Captain and Doc.
I don't know if they say the captain's name except more than once in passing.
Maybe.
They say the doctor's name like twice, but they just call each other Doc and Captain.
Yes. So. When Captain is talking to Koichi and is like, you better not orphan this little girl. Like, I will never forgive you. And Koichi, fully committed to, well, you think he's like fully committed to this mission, is ignoring him. And you just like the relief. I love also the relief. Like when he's floating and you just see that's good. It's such good
acting.
And they're
acting. All saluting him and the lights are shooting out of Godzilla.
It's such good acting.
It's such a good, I love the scene where the suns break the clouds and Godzilla's falling apart and everyone's saluting.
I think as
the powerful moment.
As weird as this sounds, the Japanese Godzillas feel like real.
Yeah.
In a way that the Americans don't. Like,
because they focus on the people.
Like, Godzilla feel, not that Godzilla feels secondary. Godzilla is a very important metaphor for whatever. But like, how do I don't know.
It's not about a monster fight.
It doesn't need to be Godzilla.
Yeah.
It could technically be anything.
Could be the lack of a kiss.
It is not the lack of a kiss. Oh my god. Is this just going to be your thing this episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just thinking kiss would have fixed him.
We are an hour and a half into this recording. We are missing parts. What parts, like what are big things that we still haven't talked about?
I mean, they have a lot of just kind of secondary plot stuff. Like, truly, the core of this movie is his emotional journey, which we've covered. I mean, there's the fact that Americans aren't helping because they're afraid of the Russians. They have the big meeting where everyone says, at least it's not guaranteed death like the war, and we can do something good. And they're like, look, everyone's happy to be fighting for a good cause, finally.
But then he is committed to have that being his kamikaze mission. Yeah. So, like, you're not guaranteed death like the war, but he's still in the war, so he's guaranteed death.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's revealed at the end that she's alive, and he's like holding his little, he's holding Akiko, his little baby, and like drops to his knees. And because she's so short, the moment he drops to his knees, she just like stands. And it's like he doesn't ever fully like let her go. She just kind of walks out. That's a cute little like that's just a real thing, a little tiny person would do. Oh my god. The kid, the captain always talking to the kid about like yeah, we completely forgot about this. The kid's journey at the end, when
the kid,
so Godzilla,
I thought you're talking about the small baby.
No, not
like, what journey does
Akiko grow? Akiko.
Yeah, the kid, because they're like, you can't come with us, and they're like, we're giving him the future,
and they sink Godzilla, and then he gets stuck during the rise because he like, cuts off the floats. And yeah, they have like, they're breaking the ships essentially. And the kid comes in with all of the tugboats and all, like he's leading the crew of like
a dozen tugboats
and they tie six to each and start pulling them in opposite directions again to pull Godzilla.
Which is a metaphor for the new generation helping the old.
It is, but it's also like the kid finally got to see his little bit. He got his glory.
Action, yeah.
I like that. This movie.
And immediately understands that war is bad because he's almost nuclear. He almost turned to nuclear dust.
Because
it goes, I like how his things go ka-tunk,
yeah,
ka-tunk, ka-tunk, ka-tunk. He goes, it's so fucking good. I mean, it's Godzilla's best when it's a metaphor about deep trauma and war, but I also want to see a giant lizard shoot a laser.
Sure. I mean, but this movie is the best of both
worlds. It's best of both worlds. It's just so good. It's such a good movie.
It has all of the action that I want, but it's not all action. I think it would have been my... It's sparse. It
might have been my favorite movie that year if Everything Everywhere All at Once did not come out that year, which it might have.
It didn't.
It was probably my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah. Okay. Mine was... I didn't see it in theaters. Mine was Evil Dead Rise. Just because that movie rocks. It's turn your brain off, but it's also slightly smarter than it has any right to be. But it's also turn your brain off. Like, it's legitimately scary at points. But it's
I didn't see any other movies that came out this year. That year.
I only saw Spider-Verse and Evil Dead Rise.
I saw Dungeons and Dragons.
I saw Dungeons and Dragons very on good. Streaming. That movie rules. That movie's good.
But I missed the Oppenheimer Barbie events.
Me too. Yeah. I had no desire. I had no desire to see either, really.
Hates women.
I kind of wanted to see Barbie, but I was working six jobs. And I have Oppenheimer on Blu-ray because my brother got it for me for Christmas, and I have no desire to watch it. I'll be absolutely
honest. It's a film school movie. You have to. They're going to take away your degree.
Honestly, if I had seen Oppenheimer, that would be the movie we would be watching next, because I wanted to, like, what's the actually good deconstruction of...
American
of the nuclear fallout versus, like, what's the American version of this
only
movie?
The guy who built it feels bad.
But
I think it's like we don't have a collective sense of guilt. We're very individualistic in this nation, so it's very hard for us to have a nationalistic, like, a nationwide trauma. I think that's what it is, because I just realized with Oppenheimer it's one man's trauma.
Yeah,
because he's the one that it's his individual choices versus the more collective community aspect the Japanese culture has.
Yes. Well, this movie also is in many ways about one man's trauma, but it is about how a community is also affected by the same thing this man is affected by.
He's not alone in that trauma.
He's right. Even at his most alone, there is one other person who understands exactly how he's feeling. Did we mention how he got the mechanic back involved?
No, he wrote a bunch of letters, said, "This is all your fucking fault." And he gets a tire. He gets a tire and iron. He limps up and just smacks him in the back of the tire and iron.
And it's the next day before they're training for the mission. And he's got this great makeup, by the way.
He's just beating the shit out. He's like, "I fell down drunk." Whoopsie.
It's like, well, you had every right to celebrate because we got the mechanic and y'all were just happy together.
Like, get a man sake, dude. I'm surprised that isn't the alcoholic's water.
Oh my god. We're only an hour 35 in, and I feel like we've covered...
It's a simple... The movie's great because it's simple. It's not a fucking complex movie.
It is incredibly complex.
It's emotionally complex.
Sure. It's emotion... Yes.
It's emotionally complex because, again, it's not American. It understands subtlety. So there's not a lot of actual complexity in the moving parts, but the emotions are complex and they're portrayed perfectly without extra fluff or need. Like it's a long movie, but everything is exactly where it needs to be. It doesn't drag, and there's no unneeded complexity. Everything's pretty simple on the face value of it. It's only through the emotional depth that it becomes such a deep movie.
Right. It's, yeah, right around when they're planning.
It's not a complex movie.
No. It feels its length a little bit during the planning, but I would cut none of it. I would cut none of this movie. That being said, there are you feel the last 45 minutes. Not in a bad way, just in a way that, like,
it's not a complex movie. It's a subtle movie, so it's very basic on the front of end of it.
Fair enough. This movie delivers a better action movie than most American. I would argue this is a better action Godzilla than the 2016 American.
You're invested in it. It's not just two CGI monsters doing, like, kung fu fucking WWE moves on each other.
Sure, but I think...
For barely no reason other than to have them fight.
But the action... Yes, but I think the action itself looks better. Yeah. Like, done for a tenth of the budget.
Yeah.
I think...
CGI slugfests fucking suck.
It's used so sparingly. I think, what, he does the nuclear reaction three times in this movie?
Jason Bourne is a great action movie. Not as much action as you'd expect.
They make that budget.
John Wick's like the only action movies that have constant action that it works.
Yeah, it's ever. I don't have any complaints about this movie. To me, I think this. I mean, we don't rate.
I mean, I'll put this in my very small bin of, like, Jennifer's Body, Troll Hunter, Trick or Treat, and Hot Frosty of Watch's movie. The other ones, I think they're good movies. It's not a movie I'm gonna be like, you should watch Asteroid City. I'm like, that's a good movie. You should see it. But, like, this is a movie that I'm like, you should watch this movie.
1,000%. I probably...
It's up there with Troll Hunter, where it's a movie where I'm like, you need to see this movie.
Yes. It's actually, this movie, it feels a lot like Troll Hunter in many ways.
It's a low-budget foreign film. They're good.
Also, but I will say, I watched the first 3 minutes of this movie dubbed by accident because I didn't realize that Netflix had, or I watched it like English dubbed,
yeah,
by accident because I didn't realize Netflix was auto set to that. Until, like, it was one of those where I kind of thought it was like a weird style. Like, I knew nothing about this movie, so I'm like,
that was a weird stylistic choice.
I was like, this is a weird stylistic choice, and I love it. And it's a good, the first 3 minutes, it's a decent dub.
Yeah.
I mean, it's watch it subbed, watch it in the language that it's,
yeah, I'm
like,
not the dubs guy.
Yeah, Jennifer's yeah. Body, we're doing for our 1 year, so I include that, but I don't include
it. Yeah, watch this fucking, if you don't watch any of the other movies we watch this movie.
I would include, yeah. I mean, this
and Troll Hunter are the ones I say you should watch.
My gold stars are Swiss Army Man, Secondhand Lions, I mean, Troll Hunter, and this. I mean, Alita Battle Angel, just everyone should see Alita Battle Angel once in their life just to know what like true maximalist cinema looks like, in a way that, like, I don't know, what maximalist cinema, not as a Mad Max Fury Roadie type.
Yeah.
Because that's also maximalist cinema, but in a different way. But I mean, yeah. Yeah, no, this is a gold star for me. Yeah. No final thoughts?
I already said my final thoughts.
Me too, dude.
Movie rocks.
Do you want to do socials?
Yeah. If you want to send some articles for Harrison to read about how having a little kiss will fix you, because as we all know, the actual title of release in Japan is Godzilla minus one kiss, parentheses, he'll never be fixed. twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com, twomenmoviepodcast@instagram. We have a TikTok. I made a TikTok.
We have a TikTok.
It's Instagram Reels. Two Men Movie Podcast. At, I don't know how TikTok works.
Yeah, it's at. Okay, it's Two Men Movie Podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. YouTube, a Two Men and a Movie Podcast. You can find me at Midwest_magician on Instagram if you want to follow my own personal antics.
You can find us on like Spotify and shit at Two Men and a Movie Podcast. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at harrisonpoole.com. Don't worry, I remembered. at PooleDotcom. I keep saying that I need to get more active, but I have yet to do it.
I'll hold you to it. Thanks for however you listen or watch.
1,000%. We appreciate it. We're real excited. We have a loose schedule set up till the end of March. We're always willing to break it if something exciting comes along. Please give us movie recommendations. Like, I'm pumped to see what you guys have. Thank you, Tristan Hostetter, for our theme song. Did I say that already?
No.
Okay, yeah.
You're starting to stand up. I'm like, no, Tristan!
Thank you, Tristan Hostetter, for our theme song. Thank you guys for listening.
Spread the word. Hugs and kisses. I can't hug you, but I can give you kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.